One of the most recognizable January 6th rioters, the self-proclaimed bare-chested QAnon shaman, has served time and now is back in Scottsdale, Arizona, selling branded merchandise like coffee cups and yoga mats. Are you allowed to profit from crime? Well, the answer is complicated, but the Associated Press found convicted Jan 6 defendants raking in thousands for the defense, even though they used free public defenders. Others are selling video they shot or riot-themed rap albums, and increasingly, judges are fining them. So what's legal? We'll get to that, but first, what's happening? Associated Press reporter Michael Kunzelman is here. We'll link you to his great reporting. But Michael, you write, some fundraising sites like GoFundMe have banned some of these campaigns. Another site is backing them?
I think the website you're referring to is called GiveSendGo, which calls itself the number one free Christian fundraising site. And so, you know, dozens of defendants who have pled guilty or been convicted at trial of charges related to the January 6th attack have gone to this website to raise tens of thousands of dollars sometimes under the guise of calling themselves patriots who are political prisoners, that sort of rhetoric.
Right.
And there's a receptive audience out there that I think wants to support them, and they have.
Well, there's nothing wrong, we understand, with asking for support. You know, Daniel Goodwin has raised more than $25,000. His mother has a fundraising page as well. She says he was only in the Capitol for 2 minutes. We understand there's nothing wrong with asking for money to help pay legal fees. But give us an example of where the government is clawing back money and why. What's the argument?
Sure. Well, I'll give you a recent example. There's a man named John Strand who stormed the Capitol with a physician who's sort of a leading figure in the anti-vaccine movement. And Mr. Strand was raising money through his website, claiming that he was sort of treated unfairly by the government. And he raised about $17,000 or so for what he said was his legal defense. But he didn't tell his donors is that he has a taxpayer-funded lawyer. And so prosecutors say you shouldn't be able to profit. They tried to persuade the government or the judge at sentencing last week that he shouldn't be able to keep that money, and the judge actually fined him $10,000. So,
wow. Well, then you wrote about Jeremy Grace, who was sentenced to 3 weeks in jail for going into the Capitol, and he tried to profit by helping his dad sell T-shirts and caps and water bottles with phrases like "our house" or "back the blue." And prosecutors said, you know, that took some, you know, audacity to sell the "back the blue" paraphernalia because he watched other rioters confront and beat police officers on January 6th. There was an argument there, though. The defense lawyer said he didn't break any laws. So there are some that are just hanging out there. But give us another case with another reason. I'm looking at Robert Palmer. He attacked police officers, and he had a friend set up a site, and a probation officer who was calculating a sentencing recommendation saw it. So talk about that, the problem of maybe some of these defendants making plea deals, but then going out and celebrating what they did.
Exactly. Judges want to hear contrition from people when they come and plead guilty to a crime. They're not receptive to stories about rioters while also pleading guilty are trying to portray themselves as somehow victims of an overreaching government or political prosecution. That doesn't play very well with judges when it comes time for sentencing.
Give us some other examples that you found of January 6th defendants then going on to, you know, make money off their time in jail and having to give some of it back in fines.
Well, there's a man named Marcus Malley, who I think is actually going to be sentenced today, this afternoon. He's from Virginia. He's a rioter who assaulted police at the Capitol. He raised more than $16,000 from an online campaign that described him as a January 6th POW, and he was asking for money for his family. Now, nobody denies, the government certainly readily admits that, or concedes that you are allowed to raise money for your legal defense, but the problem is Mr. Malley and many others have public defenders, and they don't owe any legal fees. And so the argument, and this is one the judges are certainly going along with, is that you can't profit from your crimes. Even if it's living expenses, that sort of thing, it doesn't really matter. If the money's not going to your lawyers, they want to see an accounting of where the money's being, how the money's being used.
Well, and there are deals being made too about possibly making money. You write about Adam Johnson, who made a plea agreement allowing him to write a book, but the U.S. government has to get profits.
Yeah, I think that's an unusual provision. We haven't seen that in many cases. He's one of the rare examples where they actually went and put it in writing that you can't make money off of a book deal or any sort of interviews, that sort of thing, in Mr. Johnson's case.
Michael, we're going to turn and get a legal view now, but were you surprised by all the examples you found?
I think it's unusual because it's such an unusual set of circumstances here. There was a defense attorney who told me he hasn't had to broach this issue with his clients in the past because they were not raising money from strangers.
Michael Kunzelman with the Associated Press will link you to their terrific reporting. Michael, thank you.
No, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And now let's bring in Candace McCoy, professor at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Professor, I know you've been intrigued by this as well. We all thought, hey, I thought you could not profit across the board from committing a crime. You say what to that?
I say that's generally true. You have to be actually convicted of the crime. Cutting plea deals, as Michael has suggested, is a separate issue. But generally, these are called the Son of Sam laws way back when in New York City with the serial murderer who subsequently was writing a book. And everybody got very upset about that. Laws all over the nation, including federal, prohibit, the definition is, it's income generated as a result of having committed a crime. And what happens under those laws is that the money is given to the victims of the crime if they will sue for it or take action to recover it. So in these cases, if people are raising money by selling merch because they have newfound celebrity, that's okay. But if they directly profited from the actual crime, it's not okay.
So let's take the shaman, who had, you know, who was seemed to apologize for his actions on January 6th, but he's still a QAnon follower. He's still the QAnon shaman. He still backs conspiracy theories and other things. It sounds like you're saying that it's legal for him to sell merchandise that just celebrates the shaman that he was, but if he were to celebrate attacking the Capitol, that would be his
Precisely.
Crime, and that would be different.
Precisely. And it's really an interesting question. The fundraising websites themselves.
Well, what we mentioned was Give, Send, Go. They call themselves the number one free Christian fundraising site. They've become a haven for these defendants. We learned this from Michael Kunzelman's reportings. And they are barred from using mainstream crowdfunding sites, which is interesting that a GoFundMe can bar someone. And they say, they say on Give, Send, Go that they're allowing them on because they see it as a freedom of speech question, and that the defendants are portraying themselves as victims of government oppression.
Well, there are First Amendment issues here. In fact, the Son of Sam laws were first challenged in the United States Supreme Court in, I think, 1980. And a unanimous court at that time said free speech considerations must prevail. And then the states went back and rewrote their laws such that the victims of the crimes have to get the money.
Yeah.
That doesn't exactly fit with these fundraising websites. GoFundMe has a fraud unit, but there is no such policy listed on the website of Give, Send, Go.
So it sounds like what's happening now is that prosecutors are the ones stepping in and saying, this is fraud. This is someone saying that they're a victim, but they made a plea deal in which they said they were guilty to shave some time off their sentence. And so that's fraud.
Yes, this is grift. You know, small-scale swindles that add up. We know that the individual people giving $5, $10 will not feel victimized. And if they do, for $5 or $10, you're not going to go back to the website and complain. You say, well, if it's a good cause, they'll use it well.
Professor, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been a very pleasurable conversation.
Professor Candace McCoy from the John Jay College of Criminal Justice at City University of New York. We also spoke with the AP's Michael Kunzelman. We'll post his reporting at hereandnow.org.